ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चाक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं भङ्गोल्लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं वन्दे नन्दब्रजस्विनं भारवेणुमभीक्ष्णसा यशोधरिकथोद्गीतं पुनातिभुवनत्रयं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथं वितं धं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च आनन्दलीलामय विग्रहाय हिमावदिव्यच्च विसुन्दराय तस्मै महाप्रेमरसप्रदाय चैतन्यचन्द्राय नमो नमस्ते। हरे कृष्ण। Some question?
We have a question from Rajasundari Didi, Israel. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Please accept.
Hare Krishna. Good start.
Please accept my humble obeisances. Sometimes during kirtan I start crying, and it's not tears of joy at all. It's something more like pain, and at that moment I cannot stop it. I don't know what it is. I think that perhaps some negative emotions from the past. I have to go to another room to cry out and then return to kirtan. Before I had such tears only sometimes when I was singing bhajans for Lord Narasimhadev, and I was not thinking about it because was singing to him only once a year on the day of his appearance. But now it happens also sometimes during kirtans. So I want to ask you why this happens and what can I do to stop it, because I'm not sure it is okay. Thank you. Dandavats.
And best to suppress. I think Vaishnava Maharaj Svetasrava Prabhu published a talk of Gurudev. What was the title? Emotion, not devotion. The inverse, devotion, not emotion. And Rupa Goswami Prabhu has warned us, cautioned us, in principle, with conflating whatever we're experiencing on an emotional level with a genuine expression of Krishna conscious emotion. When Gurudev said emotion, not devotion, he's not saying there's not emotion in Krishna consciousness, but is it devotional emotion, which is a very high level of expression, right? When it is the outcome of genuine sentiments, as you'll find in some places, Prabhupada will say, you know, Krishna consciousness is realized ultimately in crying for Krishna. But that is a very high thing. We hear from Srila Guru Maharaj how, with regard to his Gurudev, Prabhupada Srila Saraswati Thakur, we will notice that he is the perfect picture of gravity, as you see there, consistently, almost without exception in every picture, you know, the personification of gravitas, right? Vidyadbi sevitam shadbi nityam advesha ragibi. So thoroughly acquainted with the scriptures and free from mundane tendencies, and But still, heart, hridayena binugato, yo dharmastha nibodhata. And he as we are told by Srila Guru Maharaj, at different times some ecstasy is coming to him. And he's meticulously suppressing any emotional display, particularly to not mislead neophytes, because then the door will be open and everyone will want to imitate that. Still, so Srila Guru Maharaj said, that's the way he is. And there were observations by his disciples once when going through their printing press and observing just some proofs for perhaps Chaitanya Bhagavat or one of the books they were publishing. One of the substantial devotees observed varieties of ecstatic symptoms upon his divine form, but he was suppressing any tears, not to mislead or give credence to imitationism. Right? So he said, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhu, his caution was that he said two things we are to be aware of. One is acting. Just like the American acting tradition actually pays homage to the Russian acting guru Stanislavski and what is commonly referred to as the method. And his theory, premise, is that if you will imitate that character, their gesture, their dress, everything about them that can be known, and you will immerse yourself into that imitation wholesale. And that's why so many actors do so much research. And some of them, they stay in character even when they're not filming. And he said, if you do this successfully, you'll achieve a stage where you have become that character. Your own identity is suppressed or forgotten, like self-oblivion, and you've become that character. That's his idea. But what should be observed, because someone wrote a doctoral thesis on this, like acting is a way of salvation, who perhaps inadvertently observed this of the so-called Babaji's of Radha Kunda. But he thought, two things. One is, it's obvious they're acting, but not knowing what substantial devotion is and the sequence outlined by Rupa Goswami, he thought, so that's a way. They're showing that that's a way through acting. So he identified the two things. One is that they're acting, but the other, implied but not stated, is that you're still that particular person. Your former identity has not dissolved or vanished, but it's what Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj would call an artificial imposition on the mind. So there's no real substance there. It's an act, right? It's imitative devotion. And Rupa Goswami goes into details about that in his works also. Shadow, reflection, there's some distinction there, some relative merit, but not the substantial thing. So he is warning us or cautioning us, envying others, that we might be deceived into thinking someone is a substantial devotee when in fact they are acting. Right? Just as when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was on the Brajamandal Parikrama in Vrindavan. And we generally think, oh, Vrindavan, that's the land of Krishna. Everyone there is a devotee of Krishna. The peacocks are devotees, the monkeys, the birds, the bees, the trees, everything. River Jamuna, somebody think. All the inhabitants, they must be devotees. And so they complete the Brajamandal Parikrama as Madhusudan Maharaj, not the shortcut. Paramananda Prabhu may know how, what's the total? It's substantial. I forget how many miles or kilometers the total Brajamandal Parikrama, but.
Takes about a month.
Yeah, so that's Madhusudan Maharaj's program. And upon complete, that means visiting, because generally I like to go on an ontological parikrama. Beginning Radha Damodar, Madan Mohan, the Goswami, in a particular order that makes sense to me ontologically. And factoring in, we can't go to every place. But they had just been to, not every place, but what we would, you know, not, I mean, a Brajamandal Parikrama, right? That means more or less circulating the whole of Vrindavan. And much to their surprise, although they'd met so many along the way, remember I said Saraswati Thakur, what do we call it? Face palm, palm to them. He said, oh, I'm so unfortunate. Well, we said, well, wait, that's supposed to be the great fortune of all devotees, to be able to go to Vrindavan, do the Brajamandal Parikrama. At the end, shouldn't we be celebrating our good fortune? We've completed the Brajamandal Parikrama. And he said, oh, I am so unfortunate. What? He said, I just completed the whole of the Brajamandal Parikrama and I couldn't find a single Vaishnava. Oh, my misfortune. So as Srila Gurumar said, Srila Saraswati Thakur's statements were mostly revolutionary. It's interesting. He didn't mean that there's a few times he said something revolutionary. And what is revolutionary? Even the very word revolution, what does it mean? Complete circle, just like that parikrama, a complete, or what we call the 180, a complete reversal of understanding and concept. And actually, Krishna consciousness demands that you reconceive regularly, if not daily. Why? Because it's Krishna. He's living, alive, growing. He's not the same old infinite. When go to see again, something new. It's described as Navayovana, ever new, eternal fresh. That, where is that? And that, I forget the Sanskrit, and the Gita. Where he's saying, I'm everywhere and everything, I'm nowhere and I'm nothing. Right? When Guru Maharaj said, he said, I'm everywhere and everything, I'm nowhere and nothing. I'm not a madman. And that's Krishna speaking. He's saying, Arjuna, ekang stainasti to jagat. Similar theme section of verse. He's saying, whatever you conceive of the infinite, whatever blows your mind, right? And whatever you might think of a representation of the infinite, or what's utterly perplexing. He's saying, that's nothing to me. It's an atom of infinite, right? To that infinite who sleeps on a bed of infinite, Guru Maharaj reminds us. Right? So that Krishna, by his own existence, demands reconceptualization, that we repeatedly acknowledge our limitations. And we're dealing with Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means the unlimited world. So repeatedly demands that we reconceive. As Brahma, four-headed Brahma, had to admit, Jnani Prayasam Udapasanam Anta Eva. Don't try to measure him with your mind and intellect. Then what are we left with? Stanestita Shrutigatam Tanuvan Manobir. Hear from his devotees about him. It's interesting. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, remember studying this earlier on, and I was trying to make sure that I was understanding it properly. And I would notice I could follow everything sequentially up to a point until he came to Raga Bhakti. And in Prabhupada's summary, I'm mainly referring to Nectar Devotion, he says at one point, when he gets to this one chapter, he says, here, this cannot be described, how shall we say, step-by-step way. He said, so Rupa Goswami says, I'm just going to give you examples of Ragamarg devotees and what they've expressed under particular circumstances or situations. And then you'll get, some impression will come to you from that. You'll hear the expressions of these devotees. And then some impression will come to your heart about it. This is not intellectual step-by-step analysis. So what do we call it? Stanestita Shrutigatam. Just hear from genuine devotees about Krishna and some impression will come to your heart. Right? That impression we call Krishna consciousness. So when Saraswati Thakur would say these things, or this particular thing, this perplexed his disciples. They had full faith in him, but now our Guru Maharaj, our Guru, he's saying something that is perplexing, bewildering, confusing. We can't, and Gurudev's word, digest this. So he said, I couldn't find a single Vaishnav. So they offered up the name of the person who was allegedly, or reputedly, the top Vaishnava of the day, this particular Babaji. We'll just say his name is Ramdas Babaji. And they mentioned, well, what about him? Everyone in Vrindavan thinks he's a Siddha Mahatma, like the highest type of liberated soul, right? Not the practitioner. Right? What about him? And Saraswati Thakur said, he is a, Guru said, an infant class Vaishnav. That's how he put it. Because we can say third, second class, Guru Maharaj's word, an infant class Vaishnav. An infant. This perplexed them. So whom everyone reveres to be the highest. You mean, he's an infant class Vaishnav. And Guru Maharaj, always honest. Honesty is required, being candid, honest, if we want to make progress. If we want to deceive ourselves, then no one can help us. No one can help the self-deceiver. So Guru Maharaj is just honest. He's saying this was difficult for him to accept, but he knows if Saraswati Thakur is saying this, it's true. It must be true. So how shall I adjust myself to understand the truth of what my Gurudev is saying? So Guru Maharaj had the opportunity to stop off in Vrindavan a little bit later after that. And that Ram Dass Babaji, there, Guru Maharaj thought, he'll go observe him. And what he observes is, it's like a show. He's there, he's foaming at the mouth. His body is shivering. Then there's a one devotee on this side, another on the other side. One like wipes this way, the other one wipes that way. They say he can't go to a Bhagavad class. Why? If he hears the name of Krishna, he will go into an ecstatic trance or exhibit ecstatic symptoms. He'll be devastated. Right? And these things are going on. Guru Maharaj said, I'm observing him, and then in my mind's eye, I see my Guru Maharaj, an infant class Vaishnava. And then I'm observing that man, an infant class Vaishnava. Then I saw, after these so-called ecstatic performances, with a matter of minutes, he transitioned to very ordinary dealings. And awareness and concern, trivial things. What in literature is sometimes called bathos means it's a literary fault where you're dealing with something very, very high and then so low as to soil the high thing that was discussed. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Charitamritam and elsewhere, we hear, for example, case of Mahaprabhu, Pundarik Vidya Nidhi, Prema Nidhi comes to mind, but Mahaprabhu, okay. When Mahaprabhu enters an ecstatic trance, he becomes fainted to this world, and we remind, that means doesn't mean just a fainted person lying unconscious, but so much lost in the upper world as to be unable to sustain external awareness. That's what we're speaking of. Three stages Kaviraj Goswami describes. Internal, half internal, half external, external. It's how he transitions gradually. These trances last on average for 9 hours. So for 9 hours, he appears to be dead, right? That's why when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was examining him in front of Jagannath, he would put the cotton swab, the guards are ready to throw him out, drag him out of the temple, throw him in a gutter. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya puts the cotton swabs and detects seeing the fibers move a little bit, he realized he's still breathing. So it's a death-like trance. Right? As Guru Maharaj writes in the Gadadhar Pranamani, Nilambodhi today sadas viraha ke panvitam bandavam srimad bhagavati katha madhirya sanjeevayam bhataya. Sanjeeva, he's bringing him back to life. He's on the verge of death and bringing him back from that. With the intoxicating nectar of Krishna Katha. So 9 hours like that. That's why the devotees are crying. They're so worried. They think that he's either left the world or on the verge of leaving the world. So 9 hours. I mean, so substantial and a gradual transition back from that plane into this plane. And this person, Guru Maharaj is observing, he's showing something for a few minutes and then quickly transitioning back to the mundane, the trivial. So that was one thing he noted and observed personally. And then he thought about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he came to this conclusion. He said, what I realize is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our Guru Maharaj, they're, this man, he's a practitioner. By his practices, however, you know, imitative they may be, he's trying to elevate himself toward that domain. But that domain that he's trying to elevate himself toward by his spiritual practices and sadachar, etc. That is the domain from which Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Saraswati Thakur have descended into this world. They're not practitioners of Krishna consciousness. It's not that they're chanting a fixed number of rounds every day and following certain rules, regulations, principles in hopes of elevating themselves toward that plane. And rather, they've descended from that plane to distribute something in this world. As Guru Maharaj wrote in his divine poetry, Kamala Priyanayanam Haribhasana Gunamanjari Gorima Guna Haribhasana Vayanam. He describes a kunja, kanana, braja kanana, in the spiritual world, which is presided over by Kamala Manjari, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And there is Guna Manjari, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Nayanamani Manjari, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who's singing the glories of Guna Manjari. Guna Manjari, Gorima Guna Haribhasana Vayanam. And by singing the gunas of Guna, the qualities of Guna Manjari, Guna also means thread. He's saying these, what is created by that are chinmoy threads, spiritually conscious threads of Harikatha, right? That form a tent in which Krishna likes to dwell. That's the realm that they live in. They've descended from that plane into this world to distribute something. So Srila Guru Maharaj also reminds us the bhajan of the Goswamis is not, how do you say? They're not practitioners. Their bhajan is direct service. It's not that they're engaged in just certain spiritual practices for elevation. It's direct service in the upper world. Right? So that Guru Maharaj observed and then understood why Srila, from the, when Srila Saraswati Thakur said, I couldn't find, I'm so unfortunate, I couldn't find a single Vaishnav. What he's talking about is quality, a particular quality of Vaishnav. What is that quality? From that domain. Those who descend from that world, they're not going to be impressed with any level of practicing in this plane, right? Or imitation. We know also, speaking of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we hear many astonishing things about him. We also hear there are those who observed him and wanted to imitate his behavior. So one man of sometimes could hear from Babaji Maharaj's kutir, which was sometimes in an upturned boat or, as we know, different places. He heard, and hearing some divine emotion, ecstatic expression coming from there. And then, and observing his practices and everything. So then we heard this man, he decided to build a bhajan kutir on the banks of the Ganga And then enter there, and he's taking Krishna Nam, 1 lakh, 2 lakhs, he's taking his Krishna Nam, and then sometimes you can hear, he's wailing and crying and tears are pouring from his eyes and so many things. And of course, the people are impressed. And that man is impressed with himself. I remember, and when I hear this one tape, it still bothers me to this day. Guru Maharaj would be lecturing. Just think about this for a moment. You know, Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami. As Bhan Maharaj said the other day about his Ramananda, greatest speech given of all time. He is speaking, and there was this one so-called devotee who was downstairs pacing back and forth, chanting his rounds. And if you listen to it, and loudly. So while Guru Maharaj is speaking, you know, you hear this person doing this. And Guru Maharaj kept on speaking, but I don't know who it was. I brought it to his attention. You know, they're saying, what about so-and-so, Prabhu? You know, it was hard to ignore, you know. And Guru Maharaj, he said, he is full in himself. But it's, in modern English, we would say, he's full of himself. But he said, he is full in himself. Like, he doesn't need the, you know, but that he could say that, again, that's an example of his sense of humor. The irony of it all, but how at the same time he's telling you, but not criticizing ostensibly. But he's fooling himself. So that man who's wailing and inside chanting, all, you know, got to get that lakh done, or that second lakh, going for three, right? The hat trick of lakhs. People come to Babaji Maharaj and say, Babaji Maharaj, what do you have to say about that gentleman? And Guru Maharaj said, Babaji Maharaj's response was, if a lady enters the labor room, and that means where women give birth to babies, and starts moaning and groaning and crying out and making and contorting. And he said, does she produce a child? And Guru Maharaj's word, he said, many other events must have taken place before that. Right? So just entering that room and feigning childbirth, does not a child produce? Right? So these are serious things, the most serious thing. We don't want something cheap or artificial. And this is so particular to devotees that we're extra cautious about these things. Ahoy tuki apratyata. Guru said, Prabhupada would say, like, causeless and uninterrupted. And that's correct. But Guru Maharaj, he's always extracting some new, like, he said, causeless and irresistible. And this word, irresistible, is key. Because the opposite is resistible. So the first line of defense, so to speak, for sincere devotees whose aspiration is genuine, if something comes to them, they're resisting that, they're trying to suppress that. And if it's suppressible, then they're thinking, because their thing is, why someone as unqualified as myself, Krishna's given everything, I've given nothing in return, should be the receptacle of such wonderful things. They're resisting that. my imagination, my tendency toward name and fame, kana, pratishta, self-assertion. Is it really something divine descending here? Right? Or an imposition, as Prabhupada says, an artificial imposition on the mind. So they're resisting. If it's irresistible, then it might be genuine, might be devotion. So that's one side. Imitation, acting. On the other side, Rupa Goswami says, there are those who are sentimental by nature, right, who cry easily, right? Some of our devotees say of themselves, like, oh, you know, a family of criers, or something like Sri Lekha would tell me, we're a family of criers. I come from a long line of family of criers. And, right? She's aware of that. So if we realize, and we see in the modern world, in advertising, they're so expert at manipulating emotions. In 30 seconds, a 30-second commercial can touch your heart and bring tears to your eyes. They're so expert, and God knows what they're selling, right? But within 30 seconds, they're so expert at storytelling and pulling emotion. They can achieve that. In 30 seconds, you have tears in your eyes. And it's for the most base, mundane product. Right? So there's being manipulated, but there's also, what is our personal tendency? So, succinctly, we should not conflate emotions that come to us in our life circumstance in the pursuit of Krishna consciousness with the substance of Krishna consciousness. So, and particularly crying and kirtan or in a devotional sense, it is best, as you know, leave that situation, get your emotions under control, and then resume. Because this is unacceptable in the society of pure devotee or pursuing pure devotion. Right. We know also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a section where Haridas Thakur, remember, just like Mukunda in Charitamritam, he's a doctor, vaidya by profession. He's giving medical advice governor king. And they have appropriated divine paraphernalia, which means, like, they use the peacock fan, their attendants, all the divine paraphernalia of Vaishnava, they've appropriated. So Mukunda is giving medical advice to the king, and they're on like balcony, veranda situation, and one of the king's attendants is shading him with a peacock fan, like sometimes fanning, shading. And while Mukunda is speaking, he sees the peacock feathers, and then that awakens intense divine remembrance of Krishna. Like Barhapi Dam Natabara Bapukane Okane Karam Bibrad Basa Kanaka Kabisam Bhajayantim Chamalam Rundran Vainurd Haya Sudhaya Purayan Gopa Vrinde Brindaranyam Swapara Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti Barhapi, that means Krishna, he's always wearing the peacock feather, as we hear in Vrindavan, you know, everyone in Vrindavan exalted beings. So the peacocks are also exalted souls, exalted liberated souls, super exalted liberated souls. And they see there's Krishna before them, and sometimes they request that Krishna will play his flute and they will dance, right? So imagine how beautiful that. Krishna's playing his flute and the peacocks are dancing to the flute song. And when it finishes, the peacocks are so happy. They want to offer something to Krishna. So they bend their heads forward and Krishna like plucks a peacock feather from a peacock, puts it in the, then how, they're like fainted at that point. Fainted peacock. The other ones are like, so he is always wearing the peacock feather. That's his marker. So this verse, it's interesting. It appears to be about Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys, and it is. Think how beautiful Krishna looks with his peacock feather, and with Balaram and the cowherd boys, they're singing and dancing in the morning and moving in a group. But what we should note is this verse is from the point of view of the Braja Gopis. This is what they see. And it's sometimes it's happy to the extreme. But also, they see they're going into the Vrindavan forest, leaving in the morning, and then there's some pangs in the heart of the ensuing separation. So much so that we hear sometimes the gopis say to each other, like, I wish I was a cowherd boy. Why? Well, then we could go play with Krishna in the daytime. You know, but in the day that we can't go, he's there with the cowherd boys, and they're, it's a sweet way of expressing their heart's inner aspiration. So it's from their point of view. That's what they see. And they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, the nectar of Krishna's lips enters the flute, and then there's a stream of that nectar in the environment, and the sweet sound, relished by everyone. Sudhayam pura gopa vrinde brindaranyam subhara ramanam pravishad gita kirti. And Guru Maharaj points out, so we see the joy of Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, joy of Braja Gopis observing this scene, saying, but when their lotus feet are dancing and moving on the ground, Brindaranyam Swapara Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti means as they're singing and dancing, entering. But Swapara Ramanam, the earth at the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna, Guru says, is shivering in conjugal ecstasy. What is not possible in that world? The earth is shivering in conjugal ecstasy at the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna. So Mukunda, just seeing the peacock feather while trying to give the medical advice, like the real, the genuine Vaishnava, he enters that world and is unable to maintain consciousness, sustain consciousness in this world, causing him to become fainted. He is lying on the ground. The attendant and they're fanning him and gradually bring him back to consciousness. And they're saying, where does it hurt? Saying, it doesn't hurt anywhere. But he catches himself, I have a condition, like epilepsy, and have seizures from time to time. Forgive me. They're saying, all right, as long as you're okay. I'm fine. Yeah. The genuine devotees are suppressing, concealing their exalted position. They lament any display. Right? So that's in the case of Mukunda, and that's mentioned there. But in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, find Haridas Thakur, similar way. He is along the road, and we've seen this, those who've been to India, you know, there'll be like a rattan wicker basket with some cobras in it. And then there's the guys with the flute or oboe or somewhere between a flute and an oboe. And they're moving like that. And then the cobras come up and they're going like that. And in the modern world, they make you give money to them to put them away. That's what they do. They like bring them to a place, they all come out, and then the people go, wow, you know. They go, okay. They go, no, not okay, you know. Until you give the rupees, they don't go back in the basket, and then you realize, oh, I have to pay money to stop this. What's up? Well, Haridas Thakur, there's a man doing that on the side of the road, and then when he sees the cobras, he sees Anantashesh. The thousand-hooded Anantashesh singing the glories of Krishna. And he enters an ecstatic trance. And like, imagine you're walking on the side of the road. He sees Anantashesh. He's taken to that plane and becomes fainted to this world. He's entered that world. And when he comes out of that trance, the people are taking the dust from his feet, and he's trying to escape. Right? In other words, they caught him in a moment of display. And he goes on. But we're told in that story that one Brahmin nearby, he observed this, and he thought, sees how the people are taking the dust and worshiping Haridas Thakur and showing so much awe, reverent respect. And he becomes envious of that. And he's saying, I can do that, maybe even better. And then he puts on a show. And then the people beat him. And then he's sitting there bruised and beaten, saying, I don't understand. When he did it, you're all taking feet dust and worship, asking for blessings, and then I'm doing and you're beating me. And they say, yes, because you're imitating the activities of a great soul. Right? He is a genuine great devotee, and you're imitating that. That's unhealthy for neophyte. That's why Saraswati Thakur is suppressing these divine emotions. Right? And that same Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj said, who is so vigilant in suppressing ecstatic symptoms, when behind closed doors with his intimate circle, he would recall the sloka of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami from the Bilapa Kusumanjali, Ashavare Amrita Sindhu Mayi Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratamhi Tom Chait Kripam Mayi Vidasa Shinaiva Kimme Prane Brajena Chabororu Bakarinapi. After the departure of Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar in Puri, remember Raghunath Das Goswami was put under the care of Swarup Damodar by Mahaprabhu personally. And now that the two of them have left the world, Raghunath Das, raison d'être, his reason for being, is no longer. He's saying, why am I in this world? The purpose of my life, what gives my life meaning and purpose, is this service aspiration that I've been nurturing in my heart to one day achieve the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And so without them, that's not a possibility any longer. So why shall I continue to live? He's thinking to go to Govardhan, Radha Kunda, have one darshan, then throw himself from the Govardhan. And he's saying, because my life, I've lost the meaning of my life, the purpose of my life, and what is more valuable than my life? Vrindavan, without you, meaning Srimati Radharani, what is Vrindavan? What would be my interest? Radha Padmankita Dham Vrindavan Jaranam Bhakti Vinod Thakur says the Vrindavan proper is that soil, remember it's all Chinmoy, that is enriched with the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, which means the enriched with the highest quality of dedicating tendency and self-giving. Right? Dasayate mama rasastu rasastu satyam, sakayate mama namostu namostu nityam. Elsewhere in the same work, he's saying that my aspiration is service, that is my target, and intimacy, that is not my concern. That is something higher and worshipable to me. Like Saraswati Thakur's motto, Pujala Ragapat Gaurava Bhange Matala Sarujana Bishayarange. Ragapat, Ragamart, that's high above the higher plane. One step removed, we're trying to serve that plane from here. So Das Goswami saying, so my life is no longer valuable. What's more valuable than my life, Vrindavan, is of no use to me without you. And prane brajena chaburu bakarinapi. And without you, Krishna, Guru, it is a shameless thing to say, bakari means the killer of baka, demon killer. Not that charming, sweet Krishna who achieves his maximum sweetness, expression of his sweetness, beauty, charm, love and affection at your side. So this verse is about a service aspiration. Right? This is the verse that that same Saraswati Thakur, who is meticulously suppressing any expression of divine emotion, Guru Maharaj said, would cry uncontrollably in giving vent to what is expressed in this verse. So that is so high and so wonderful, and those are the divine agents whom we aspire to serve, their servants. So on our side, we're extra cautious about these things. So I know that is not an intent. And the part that gives me encouragement is that she knows this, so she's leaving the situation, understanding all these things, not to disrupt and give the wrong impression. So we're extra cautious about that. Any other question?
Not today.
Okay. I remember in Italy at Vila Govinda on the disappearance day of Srila Guru Maharaj. Srila Gurudev began speaking, but he became so overwhelmed that he could not suppress his tears. And he took his uttariya and just draped it over his head to not show these things until he could resume his calm. So, and we've seen the same sort of standards in Srila Guru Maharaj. There are many instances I've observed where Srila Guru Maharaj is experiencing divine emotions, and he's very carefully suppressing them. Mahaprabhu, we are told in these words, is echoing the sentiments of Srimati Radharani herself. Then the Madhya Lila chapter 2, which is where Kaviraj Goswami, fearing that he may not live to fully express the confidential internal reasons for the nature of Mahaprabhu's appearance in pastimes, in a condensed form, he's giving there what is substantial. And this verse, even within that section, is given special emphasis. Where he says, first, Krishna Prem Jambu Nada Hema. Krishna Prem, it's like the Jambu Nada Hema. We're told the legendary rivers of gold in heaven. Right? Saying there are these rivers. There's a description in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam where it says, in one planet, where there are elephant-sized mangoes that are just full of juice. And when they drop from the trees, they burst. And then they form rivers of mango juice. And the rivers of mango juice turn the banks into gold. They're saying, Krishna Prem, it's like those legendary rivers of gold in heaven. It's not a thing of this world. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but not here. Right? Don't try to bring that down here. It exists in another plane. So that verse is given there, followed by, Na prema gandasti darapi me horo, kandami so bhagya baram prakashitam. Mahaprabhu himself, who has come for this very purpose, to explore the heart of Srimati Radharani, and what is the heart of that heart? Na prema, I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema. What to speak of a drop of that divine substance? Krandami me. Oh, but we see that you're crying. Ganga-like streams of tears are coming from your eyes. Oh, you don't know. That is to cheat the people, to deceive the people into thinking I have Krishna Prem. That's from the lips of Mahaprabhu himself. What is the second verse of the Shikshastakam? Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nijasarva Shakti. Praising that holy name, that in the first sloka is so beautiful, Vidyavaru Jivanam Anandam Buri Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnamritas Vadanam Sarvatmasnapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam Cheto Darpanam Arjanam Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vataranam. How glorious and beautiful the holy name of Krishna is, and its effect upon the heart of the aspiring servitor. And you have so many names. And then all of them are fully invested, all your potency. Tatraprithak, Niyamataks, and there's no hard and fast rules, as Prabhupada would say, or you can take his name anywhere, anytime, in any way. When some devotees ask him, well, should we chant like silently? I mean, aloud, manasik, and which way? Which way is the best? Gurmukh said, the one that is done with, you know, love and devotion and feeling, not the one, you know, loud, half, you know, aspirated, murmured. It's not one is better than the other. Which one has quality? But so he's saying that's not an issue. You have so many names; they can be chanted in so many ways at any time of day or night. But what? Etadushi kripa, you're so merciful. Kali kale nama rupe Krishna avatar. In Kali Yuga, you've descended in the form of your name. Hadushi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdevam idrusam ihajani nanurag. My bad luck, my misfortune, what's wrong with me? I have no attraction for this, no taste for your holy name. Something must be wrong with me. You're so merciful, you've descended this way, the infinite appearing as though finite. It's so easy. You've sent your devotee to give this to me, and I'm so unfortunate as to have no attraction for that. That comes from Mahaprabhu, who's doing what? Echoing sentiments expressed from the heart of Srimati Radharani. I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna Prem, what to speak of a drop of that divine substance. Then how should we proceed? Yadvanchana Sri Lalana Charatapo Bihaya Kaman Suchidam Dridambrita. Lakshmi Devi did austerities in the Tapovan in the forest for lifetimes to try and get entrance into that plane. And we will get it so easily. I was reading the other day about diamonds. And it said, like, how long it takes to make a diamond. As I recall, and, you know, I'm just approximating here, on average, it was around 3.5 billion years. Right? So if you want diamond, you're dealing with something that takes 3.5 billion years to achieve. Right? Should Krishna consciousness, is Krishna consciousness more valuable than a diamond? Equal? Greater? How long does it take to achieve Krishna? What if it was 3.5 billion years? Anyone want to sign up for that? Guru Maharaj. You know what he would say to that? That's too little. That's his way. That's not long enough. That's too easily achieved. That shows you the depth of his Krishna conception, that he would think 3.5 billion, no, maybe 3.5 billion lifetimes or more. And they say, Kotishwapi Mahamune, Muktanam api Siddhanam Narayana Parayana, something. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhai. Out of many thousands among men, one is interested in self. Out of many thousands of such person, you know, one may achieve siddha. Out of many thousands of siddha, one becomes a mukta, etc. Out of 10 million muktas, koti mukta durlabh madhye ek Krishna Bhakta, one Krishna Bhakta, Guru Maharaj said, that's too much. Like, that's too many. One out of 10 million. And he said that not to discourage us, to tell you how valuable a substance we've come in connection with. The 3.5 billion here diamond is before us. What is better than that is before us, being served to us on a golden plate, being gifted. Durdevam idushamiha janinanuraga. And our misfortune is to not appreciate that. So then the only remaining question should be, as Shyamananda Prabhu said to Guru Maharaj, about hunger, lolium, then how to get that hunger? We should say, how to get that appreciation? How to get the hunger? Guru Maharaj said, associate with the hungry. That will awaken hunger in you. Those who have genuine appreciation for Krishna, we associate with them, it will awaken genuine appreciation in our hearts. Tattva lolya mulam ekalam janmakoti sukritya. This is the only way to come in connection with that divine substance is through the agents and the servants of the servants of the servants of the agents of that divine plane. Hare Krishna.